to remind us that these are gifts. They're different to the fruits of the Spirit. If you think about a Christmas tree and a fruit tree, a Christmas tree is surrounded by gifts. It's something that God gives. The fruit of the Spirit grows out of our character. And they're different things. And actually, you can have somebody who's really, really gifted spiritually with a really poor character. And that's not always a good combination. But I'm not talking about that this morning. So, before I begin, I wanted to say that I was talking to Daryl and Barb and Debbie yesterday. We had the privilege of going up to Newmarket to listen to Dave Devenish speak. It was a phenomenal morning. We last heard him speak in 1993. And I knew that I said to Mark, I feel like I don't have a lot of teaching on prophecy. I feel like I need to teach. I just want to tell some stories and then get people moving. And that's sort of what he did yesterday. So I thought, he's a really, really important person. Very old and spiritual. So if he can tell stories, then I probably can too. So for me, it was validating that I can do what I'm going to do this morning. Yeah. And so I want to start with a story of last week. Because Daryl was asking me in the car, so are you happy to share what happened last week? He was just asking me sort of personally. And I said, yeah, sure. And I thought, actually, sometimes we need these things demystified. We get it when we don't know what's going on, our imagination takes over. And often the enemy comes in and he causes confusion. Mark and I have chosen to live our lives as transparently as we can. So I'm happy to share what was going on last week because God is for us. He comes in love and he is good. And sometimes when we see what was happening last week, we can become afraid and withdraw. And that is not God's heart. So just very, very quickly, and I need to watch the time because I've got so many stories and I won't be able to tell them all, but very quickly, we're in a new season, which is really, really good in our lives. Mark is finding health in all sorts of ways, which is excellent, but I'm finding it really, really difficult. And so since January, I've been in a very challenging place personally, and for the first time in 7 years, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with what I'm feeling. I don't even know what I'm feeling most of the time. And so I generally feel like a mess, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. And I'm doing the best I can with that. And I'm crying out to God and saying, God, I have no idea how to live my life right now. That things are shifting. And it's good, but it feels really uncomfortable. And so any opportunity that there is for me to get prayer right now, I take it. Like, I said to Mark, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. Are you going to offer prayer? Like, I'll respond to anything. So that was what got me up here, okay? And when I was up here, I remembered that on Thursday the previous week, a friend of mine at school had called me into her office, and she said, I was praying for you this morning, and I felt God say to me to tell you that it's okay to grieve. So I thought, okay, that's fine. Didn't really make a lot of sense, but I just held it. It was a prophetic word that came to me in a time when I don't know what's happening. And I like to know what's happening and be in control. And so I came forward on Sunday, got prayer, filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what I was responding for. And Mark Hawkins just stood there with his hand on my shoulder. He didn't pray. He didn't do anything. He just stood there. And I remembered that prophetic word, it's okay to grieve. And so I just stood there and I thought, okay, God, I think you might have something, but I don't know. I'm not feeling anything. And then suddenly, very clearly, I was aware of fear. That because of what we've walked through, I felt that I'm afraid of getting better. I'm afraid of moving into this new season because what if it happens again? Or what if, can I trust God? You know, this is what was becoming clear to me as Mark stood there with his hand on me. And out of that place, I then began to cry. And then I began to cough, and then I thought, I think I might throw up. I have never thrown up in church before. I did not want to throw up all over Mark's shoes because that was what I really, really thought I was going to puke. And so I said to Debbie, I'm going to be sick. So she got me a bag and then I felt free to continue. At no point was I afraid. I was not afraid of what was going on. I didn't fully understand what was going on. I, like Daryl was saying, do you think it was spiritual? Like, you know, I think he was asking, was it demonic? But he didn't want to say that word. It could well have been. Like fear is not from God. So it must have been demonic, because I'm dealing with fear, whether it was inside or on me. I really don't know, and I really don't care. I just didn't want it there. So I didn't get tangled up in that. I felt safe. I wanted to do business with God. Like, I know I need God. And so I didn't care. And to be honest, like, I was aware, but I didn't care what people thought of me. Like, I wasn't trying to create a show. I was just focusing on responding to God. And it wasn't until I got home that Mary told me her and Daniel had been discussing me that I thought, oh, I guess people probably heard what was going on. And so anyway, so what happened last week was significant, and it's in a process of what God is doing in my life at the moment. It's not done, and so I then have to build on it. So when I worship and we sing things like, you can be trusted in all of your ways, I am declaring it to my soul and my flesh, because it's very clear that I don't believe that. And I have to learn to believe it, and I have to change and allow God to work in me. So when you see me worshiping, like, don't think that I'm really spiritual. I'm just desperate, because I have to change to line up with the truth of who God is. And so I sing, you can be trusted in all of your ways, because I want to believe it, and I wrestle with it. And so, anyway, that was last week. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of what God wants to do, because it's always good, and it always comes from a place of love. Okay, so before I forget, I'm going to read some scripture, because I thought I could easily get through this and not use the Bible, but I need to. So the way that this morning is going to work is I'm going to talk a little bit about prophecy. I don't feel like I need to say a lot, because Tom has already preached on prophecy. So if you want to know more, then feel free to get his talk. It was really, really good. It was clear. I have one thing that I want you to go away with in terms of teaching. And then I want to share a little bit of our story in the prophetic. And then I want us to practice, okay? And what time do we need to be done by? Because I'm just looking at the time. Okay, so... Oh, Jesus, help us. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14 says, if you want to follow along, sorry. It's interesting, if you're looking this up, I'll just give you a moment or two. 1 Corinthians 12 is all about the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 is more practical. Am I?
I gotta change it.
That's okay. I will find it. To men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. So the main thing in terms of teaching about prophecy from this morning is that it is for strengthening, encouragement, comfort, and to edify or build up the church. That is what the prophetic word is for. And prophecy is really God speaking through his people. He does it in lots of different ways, which we'll come on to in a moment. But I'm going to just go through a few guidelines before we begin to practice. First of all, it is a gift. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's not about us drumming up ideas. Often you'll find that things pop into your head. And as you practice, which we're going to begin today, as you practice and you learn to listen to the voice of God, things do just pop into your head. And you think, oh, I think that was God speaking. And so it's not something we make up, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians 14, it's very, very clear in verse 31 that all Christians can prophesy. It's not just for those who've been Christians for 10 years or 15 years or those who are really spiritual, but everybody can prophesy. Thirdly, it's for the common good. And one of the things As I share my story in a moment, one of the things that keeps me getting up here and prophesying is because I think if there is one person that needs to hear this word this morning, and I don't share it because I'm embarrassed about standing up the front again this morning, then I am withholding something good from somebody. I don't know what people are walking through. And because I seek to be motivated by love, not always, but I seek, like I always seek to, but it doesn't always work. Then I do not want to deprive somebody of the encouragement that God wants to bring. I know in my life that I have had some very, very significant prophetic words that have got me through the next week, that have got me through the next day, and I've needed that. And so one of the things that gets me up on my feet most Sunday mornings is because I think there may be one person that needs this, and who am I to withhold it from them? So it's for the common good. And so as we think, if we feel like God is giving us a word, we can ask ourselves the question, what will this be for someone's good? Will it do them good? And probably, if it will, and it's in line with Scripture, then we need to just give it. It must be weighed, and which means that we, as moving in the prophetic gifting, we need to be open to correction. That's a little bit difficult at times, but actually, if we learn to make ourselves accountable, then we will grow in it. And so I often will ask Mark or Daryl sometimes, or Debbie, you know, I prophesied the other day, what was it like? Did you feel like it was God? Or, you know, or they'll give me some feedback. And it is the role of the leaders to protect us in that. And so our leaders encourage us to come and say, look, I've got a word. What do you think? And I really, really appreciate that, because that's for the protection of the church, and they are the gatekeepers of the church. A few weeks ago, I had a word for some visitors. There was three guys up here. I can't remember their names. And so afterwards, I went to them and I said, you know, did that make any sense? Was it helpful? And one of them had very, very clearly felt God had spoken. And so Debbie and I then had opportunity to pray for him. So we need to make ourselves accountable. If it leaves any, there's lots of room for human errors in prophesying, okay, because we're human. And so signs of human errors would be that if it leaves a heaviness in the room, then there may be some adjustment that's needed. It may not be that you've got it completely wrong, but it may be that there's something in there of you. And the Bible says we prophesy in part, and sometimes there's us mixed up in that. And I meant to check, Brad, if I could share this, but it's to honor you and not me, so probably okay. Like, there was a time, and I can't remember when it was, but probably a few months ago, when I shared something, and as I shared it, I felt there was a heaviness in my sharing. And actually, during the message, I think, Brad, you might not even remember, but you might do, but Brad brought some adjustment to the word, because I think the word was from God, but I wonder if I had a bit of frustration in me, and so it came across as more heavy. And my natural gifting is I'm an exhorter rather than a pastoral, you know, sort of nice person, and so I can sometimes become as being a bit heavy, and I really appreciated Brad bringing adjustment to the word that I brought in that context. So if it leaves a heaviness or condemnation, then it needs a little bit of adjustment. If it calls us to do something wrong, like ethically, financially, morally, then it might not be from God, okay? If it's unbiblical, probably isn't from God. And also, if it's inappropriate for the circumstances that the people are walking for, it might not be from God, but the timing, it might not be right. So if somebody is really, really struggling, then they need a word of comfort, certainly not criticism. One of the things that we were always told in terms of prophesying in a general context, well, in any context, would be no dates, mates, or babies, okay? Because once the prophetic starts flowing, people can easily prophesy you're going to get married to somebody at a certain time. That is not a safe thing, okay? And that's where abuse can hurt, can begin in the church, okay? Prophecy can take lots of different forms. In the Old Testament, there were some really, really weird guys. God asked them to do all sorts of strange things. Some of them, their lives were prophetic. Some of them spoke in a fiery, harsh way, like Elijah. Some of them were more literate and eloquent, like Isaiah. He uses different people in different ways, and he will use you inside your personality. So we're all different, and there's no one set way of that we have to be prophesying. But it does need to be orderly. The scripture says it needs to be orderly, and I think for those of you who have been around in a charismatic church for some time, we know that we go through seasons where the Holy Spirit is moving and like everybody suddenly wants to prophesy, which is really, really great, but there needs to be some sort of order, which is where the leaders come and bring that. It's good for the church, but it is also good for the world. And where I'm trying to grow in the prophetic is I'm asking God to speak to me for outside of the church, because I think he wants to move through the prophetic and through words of knowledge as well. In terms of receiving the prophetic into our lives, then if someone has a word for you, actually you don't have to receive it blindly. We are encouraged to weigh prophetic words. Somebody once had a word for Mark and I when we were engaged, we weren't married, and she came up to me and she said, "I just feel like God says to you, you're the blue-eyed pair." The blue-eyed couple, that's sort of like, you know, everybody loves you. And God wants you to be careful of that you don't fall. And so I just thought, whoa, and I was quite young and thought, oh, okay. So, but actually what it did in me was it provoked fear. And many years later, when we were struggling in a situation, I remembered this word and I was thinking, I wonder if that was a curse rather than a word, a prophetic word. And so that had to be dealt with. And I didn't have to receive that word, okay? I should have recognized that what was going off in me was fear, like, oh dear, what if we fall, or what if we sin, or whatever. So we're responsible when a word comes to us to weigh it and not just receive it blindly. The word might not play out the way that you imagined it to. So when we were at Bible College, John Paul Jackson, many of us who will have heard of, came to Scotland where we were, and he got us to stand up in a congregation, and he got us to switch places. And he said, God is calling you to another country. It's part of the Commonwealth. It's English speaking. We were immediately terrified that he was calling us to Scotland. but he said, but Mark, God wants you to know that Janet is at your right hand. So that was the word. There were a few other things in there as well. So we then tried to work it out. Okay, does God want us to be in Scotland? And then a few years later, we wondered if it was Zambia, because Mark fell in love with Zambia. We thought we were going to go to Africa. But actually, when we were asked to consider coming to Canada, it's like the word fell into place. And we thought, oh, we think this is that word. 15 years later. And in the last 2 years in particular, I have remembered Janet is at your right hand. And I have had to be in a place of strength. Your right hand is your strength for Mark when he's been weak. It's given me faith. It's given me courage. It's given me confidence to keep pressing through when it was difficult. 25 years ago, God spoke that word to us. It's still bearing fruit in our lives. So the prophetic word is so, so important. There have been times when we've asked specifically people to pray for us. So when we had been asked to come to Canada and we weren't sure whether what God was saying, actually I felt God speak straight away, but we wanted it confirmed because this was a big move. We asked a woman in the church who was quite a new Christian, but we could see that she had a prophetic anointing on her to pray. She thought we had marriage problems. In fact, she thought that's what she was praying about. So she didn't understand what God said to her. But a few weeks later, we met with her and her husband. And we said, okay, we'll tell you what we're asking you to pray about. And so we told her the story. We'd been asked to come to Canada. She takes a piece of paper out of her pocket. And on it, it says, you will go to Canada and Mark will write songs. The prophetic word confirms what God is saying. And we have needed to remember that God called us here. Otherwise, we might not still be here. That was the last thing God said in terms of a big move. So we're still here. Okay, so the prophetic word is just incredible. Last week, one of the things that I was afraid of, right at the end of the time praying, Daryl had a prophetic word for me, and it confirmed what I was feeling and what God was saying. So just such an encouraging and powerful word. We need to be obedient to the prophetic word. We need to build on it, and if we believe that this is God's word to us and other people witness that, then we build on it and we grow in it and we trust him for the outcome. Elsa Maria, a few years ago, had a word of me standing surrounded by babies of all different colours, children and babies. And that's for now. I'm surrounded by children of different colours and nations. And I need to remember that word. Like years before, God knew and he spoke. And so it gives me boldness and confidence. Okay, so... really, really quickly then. I want to talk about if we want to prophesy, number one, we've got to start somewhere, okay? And that's what we're going to do for some of us today. This will be the starting point. Once we've started, though, we then need to practice, because if we don't practice, we lose what we've learned. And this is where I'll sort of share a little bit of our story. We came to Oxford as students, where we met, and we joined a church, Oxfordshire Community Churches, and it was really there that God got hold of us, and he began to teach us about moving in the gifts. The church believed, Mark shared the verse this morning from 1 Corinthians 14 that says, when you come together, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So that was drummed into us. We lived like that. So every Sunday morning, people would come with something to share. It was like a potluck lunch. Everybody would bring something, and then there would be opportunity to contribute and give, whether it was a song or a word or read a scripture or pray, whatever it was. That was the environment that we really began to grow up in as students. We met once a month. We had these body meetings, they were called, when the body got together. And the first thing that Steve Thomas used to say was, okay, let's stir the spirit. And so everybody would start speaking in tongues. This was before we began to worship. We'd all come from work or from studies, and we just begin speaking in tongues together to stir up the spirit. And then we'd begin worshipping, and it was very informal. And from that place, the gifts flowed. People would prophesy, pray for one another. God would speak. And it was an incredible time where there was great faith and expectation for God to move. So this was our sort of like... this was just how we lived. We didn't think about it. It was just what we did. But then they developed a leadership training program called the Desert Rats. I wanted to remember what the Desert Rats. They were some sort of scary army. Second World War people. Okay, I don't know anything about the army or anything. But anyway, they developed this leadership training program that was like being in the army. I tell you what, if you put a foot out of wrong, you were out. And I put a foot out of line. But their purpose was to train us to lead God's people. And they took us on crazy exercises, like we'd be out walking all night. They'd give us a parachute to sleep under. And then this weird guy dressed up as John Wesley, that was John Micklefield, came and preached to us in the morning, and we then had to write down his sermon after he'd given it. So, like, lots of fun and silly things, but training us for the kingdom. And as part of that, they taught us how to move in the gifts. And we would practice, very much like we're going to do in a minute. And one of the things that they did, when they taught us about the spiritual gifts, they then commissioned us. And they said, whenever you get together with other Christians, you have to take something. For a whole year, you have to take something to that meeting. So whether it was a prayer meeting or a house group or a church service, you have to contribute. And that was their way of training us. So for a whole year, every single time we got together with Christians, we had to have something from God. I tell you what, that taught you to listen to God and take something. And so now, like, I'm not very good at potluck. Like, I'm not very good with food. I like it, but I'm not very good at bringing it. But I tell you what, I love to bring the bread. This is the bread. I love preparing for wherever I go and having something to take with me, whether it's
out of what I've read that morning, I feel like, okay, God, if you fed me, then there might be something that you want to share with somebody, and I'm always open to that. So they trained us, and because it was such a concentrated training program, we still live in that. So when we come to church on a Sunday morning, I'm not spending hours, okay, God, I need a word for this morning. In fact, I came to the place where I just used to say, God, I don't want a word for this morning. This is just too embarrassing. If we are asked to pray for, like when Brad and Melissa are being prayed in, or if there's a dedication and we are asked to seek the Lord, then I specifically ask God for a word. But most Sundays, I just spend time in the presence of God and I'm open. And if he wants to use me, then that's fine. And if he doesn't, that's also really, really fine. But it's the way I have learned to posture myself. And I am grateful for the training. I have loved thinking about the stories. I could have told you so many stories, but I've had to be quick. And so we're going to do that this morning. So to start with, I'm going to ask Mark to come and pray for us. And then I have two exercises to practice, but we've probably only got time for one. So we'll probably just do one. And so, Mark, if you are here and you have never prophesied and you'd like to, or you'd like to grow in your prophetic gifting, because everybody can prophesy, then I'd like you just to put your hands up, close your eyes, and Mark is going to pray for an activation of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. I've had a third category in there. Those who need their wells digging out. Again, perhaps you've been involved and been prophetic in the past, and it's kind of grown cold in you. I believe that God just wants to reactivate that, refresh you so that you can refresh others as well. So let's just close our eyes, and if one of those applies to you, why don't you just put your hand up, as Janet said, and we'll just pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here this morning. We thank you that, Lord, you come to release gifts, Lord, through us to other people, and we thank you for the encouraging nature of the prophetic gift and how it comes to build us up. And Lord, I just pray for each person here, Lord, who's responding to you, that you would anoint them afresh with your Holy Spirit. There'd just be grace, fresh water, Lord. Stir up your Holy Spirit within us, we pray. And Lord, just dig out the wells that have been filled with stones and rubble over the time. Let fresh water flow in a new way. And Father, let your anointing come, that we can be encouragers and exhorters to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we move this a bit more? This way, just out the way from the table, unless we bring the table forward. Okay, so we have a little practical exercise here, and we've done this a number of times. It's been done with us. Could you help me just move the table forward a bit as well? When we were part of a Christian school as well in Oxfordshire, and this is how they would train the young children. So you would have 4 or 5, 6-year-olds prophesying over one another. Their words would often be, I see a black apple and a white apple, and God wants us to eat the white apple. Often there would be black and white, you know, black giraffe and a white giraffe, and God wants us to go to the white giraffe, those sort of things. But actually, they believed in training our young. So who's the youngest person here? Not you, Erwin. Sophie, you're the youngest. Okay, I won't ask who's the oldest person here. But from the youngest to the oldest, all can prophesy. Okay, so if you want to, then it's open for you. So in the book of Jeremiah, God comes to Jeremiah and he says, I've called you to be a prophet to the nation. And Jeremiah says, oh, I'm too young. I'm only a child. So God says to him, what do you see? And God and Jeremiah said, I see an almond branch. It's not very spiritual, is it? And God says, I am watching over my word to perform you. That is the word that I'm speaking through the almond branch. And the almond branch means watching over. Okay. And then God says, okay, what do you see now? And he said, I see a boiling pot. And through that, God brings another word. So this is a game called I Saw, God Said. And so I have a number of items on the table. and we're going to ask God to speak, and then we're going to have one or two moments, and then if you feel God speaks to you through one of these physical objects, because that's one of the ways he speaks to us, then there'll be a chance to share. Okay, so do you want me to just tell you? So we've got a candle, an empty package, a lemon, a car, a plant, some headphones, a tape measure, a toy dog, a bookend, and a gift. Okay, so these, I picked these up from my house this morning. Okay, so Holy Spirit, we want to ask that you would teach us how to hear from you through what we see, because it's one of the ways that you speak to us. And I want to invite you here now to come into some of our hearts that are fearful, and that you would speak in Jesus' name. Okay, that's awesome. Thank you, Debbie. So God wants to fill us up. One thing I would say is that if you feel like one of the words that shared this morning, I know we're practicing, but God's speaking, is for you, then feel free to grab it and get somebody to pray for you afterwards, okay? Because I believe that God, this is a practice, but God uses that to speak into people's situations. Okay, so is there anyone else that has something? We were always told, if in doubt, give it out. As long as it falls within those parameters of strengthening, comfort, encouragement, edification, you're pretty safe. So this is your chance. Who else? Okay, so God is saying that we need to listen. Listen to him. And maybe to one another. Anyone else? Else, Marie? Awesome, thank you. So it's a, we need to receive it, we need to open it, and we need to use it, for it to be of benefit. Thank you. Josie. Awesome. So to tend for what God is doing, and I would say in the context of practicing prophesying, then that's how we do that. We just keep prophesying. Don Ray. Awesome. Incredible word. Yeah, well done. Thank you. So you need both God and yourself to be able to hold the word. We also need one another. And I think that's partly why the gifts are here, to encourage one another. I wouldn't have got through these last number of years if it wasn't for you guys. We need one another. Yeah. Okay, that's really good, thank you. What you don't know about this measuring tape, Ben, is that it is really, really short. Mark and I were trying to use it last night to measure something, and it wasn't long enough to measure what we wanted to measure. That was the length. And I feel like God would say to you, don't limit God and what he can do in your life and through you, through that. Okay, awesome. Andrew.
I don't know, like, if I'm going to do the
Okay, so there's a practical application for something that you need to do, which is...
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, so sometimes God gives us wisdom on in how to do something that we have to do through his word. Really good. Thank you. Who's next? Oh, lots of people. This is very exciting. We'll only play one game, I'm afraid.
The lemon.
Okay.
Lemons are obviously sour, but I just feel that God's saying, you know, if you're not sour, I put my sweet presence in you. And also, when we think of a lemon, I think of a lemon of a car as something that's useless or, you know, faulty. And God says that we are not like lemons, you know, we are useful and he's put his spirit within us. So we have, you know, he's given us gifts and tools to use in his kingdom for his purpose. Mm.
Awesome. Whoever needs to hear, you're not a lemon. We'll go up this side and then we'll come back down this one. So I'll get to you.
The measuring tape, I felt like God wants to stretch us out, like our reach of influence. But if you don't stay on the straight path, it's, the bigger you get, the easier it is to double things like
Yeah, very good. So the word of God is important in that. Awesome. Thank you. Rebecca. Awesome. Yeah, and it doesn't take a lot of light to show you the way. Very good. Thank you. Tim. Excellent. Very, very good. Okay. I don't know your name. Sorry. James.
Well, I was going to look at the candle. There's lots of biblical references, but then I was talking about the cards.
Okay.
And I said, it's a God's reward of those who diligently seek. So I personally don't have a card. But so it's like kind of like both financial provision, but also like all of the heavenly blessings that we've inherited already in Christ Jesus. And basically, God, if we diligently seek out his promises,
awesome, very good. Yeah, because he's a good gift God who longs to give good gifts. Brad, and then Melissa.
Just when you mentioned a candle, I pictured a candle that had just been put out, and I was reminded of the verse talking about Jesus. It actually struck me like almost like thinking back and off what Ben shared, is that there what you saw kind of with the memory group, it actually felt like a similar thing there. It's not, you're wrong on that, but it's not in business of making smaller extinguishing on the city.
Very good. Thank you. Melissa. Not on the table. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so I had this sense of the pineapple is tricky on the outside, and it's like someone might just not want to bother with that. But that inside is so sweet, and there's seeds too, right? And so just feel like God is saying, I have something good for you and something that is tricky or uncomfortable.
Very good. Good word. Thank you. Gary.
Last night, we were dinner and had a good dinner. And, you know, the four people sitting over there, older couple, one guy was being kind of joking around with the waitress. He was saying things over and over again. I felt just kind of for the fun of it, just go over the guy and say, you're saying, I want white wine. Why? He's saying it kind of a fun way. It was hilarious when he did it. And so I told him, they said, yeah, and so I sat down and we talked for 40 years, and then one lady came over and sat beside me, an older couple. She says, I I saw him on a pager. And he did this and this and that, and I said, well, here's my card. I know you. He's in my house a couple of years ago over on the side. You were my son, Phil. And we called you. You never called back. He said, I always called back. We went through the lab. The odds of that, of them being the people that I paid you for, and she wants some more work done. And I thought of the car, even as it was kind of a fun thing, sometimes God isn't all, it's not so religious. Mm. It's kind of a deep word.
Yeah.
You know, just a comment. Mm. And how the car is a racing car. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you feel what God could be anything.
And that was one of the things I was going to say, actually. It doesn't have to be all sort of, ooh, I'm waiting on the Lord. I think there are times when we prophesy and we don't even know it. If the Holy Spirit is within us and we are willing to be used by Him, then it just pours out of us. My mum prophesies. I don't know if she even acknowledges that that exists, but she does. Because the Holy Spirit is in her. Who is next? Caitlin.
Yeah, when I saw the London, I first thought of the fire. The part of Matthew 5 where it talks about, like, you are the salt of the earth. And kind of just about, like, you know, lemon is salty, but about, like, being bold and about, you know, being, like, noticeable, I guess. Like, that God is in us.
Mm. Yeah, excellent. And lemon has detoxifying purposes, just, which clears stuff out, clears out the rubbish. Eli?
For the candle, I saw, like, the big drips on the side. And for me, I've been struggling with, like, unworthiness, like, the phrase, like, a candle burning at both ends, like, that's a fear, and just to, like, I don't know, God's candle never ends, like, he wants to burn.
Awesome, great.
Yeah, I like the doggy.
You like the doggy, do you? Did you feel God speak through the doggy?
Yeah, I like the doggy.
What did you feel God said?
Don't know.
Okay. You know, God speaks through Daryl quite a lot. A lot of us have heard God speak to us through him. Okay, Laura. Okay.
I was just wondering if I didn't remember a car. I saw a car that I thought was a pig, and then I saw the car take on the head of a dog. And I feel that the Lord is trying to say, don't try to say that you're going to have a certain appearance, or you need to have a certain appearance, or someone needs to have a certain appearance to move into this. It's not about appearance, it's about appearance. But God will use who and what he will.
Absolutely. God will use people that are open and willing. Yeah, Anne. Excellent. Louise, then Randy.
The race car is a very powerful car, not just your ordinary car that you drive on the street. So not just anybody can get into a race car and take it out for a spin. You have to be experienced, you have to be trained, and you have to know what you're doing because of the power. Mm. But I'm sure those race car drivers, they get in those cars, and it's so exhilarating, like the experience that they have. Experiencing his power in miracles and signs and prophecy. Mm.
Mm, it is, and we need to grow in it so that we can be used as he wants us to be used. Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, the lemon is same as barb and peach, and kind of the first thing when I saw it was the sourness and the tanginess of a lemon. It gives you a kind of a bad concept, but then I felt like the word just kind of said, but used in its right context. The cold glass of water on a really hot day with a little bit of lemon slice in it, it's a lovely thing, right? And it was kind of like you said, it reminded me, like you said, about tweaking things sometimes. Sometimes we can come out in our gift and come off really badly. And the Lord would just say, but if you just tweak that, you just use it the right way, it doesn't have to be a solid thing. It can actually be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And I would encourage you that if you feel like you've stepped out in one of the gifts and you've fallen flat on your face, ask Mark and I. We've done that a lot publicly. But don't give up, because often you can be hearing from God and it just needs some training and tweaking and a little bit of help. Yeah, Ben.
It looks like it's happening. It may be towards the end of past its prime, but it still gives the same amount of light. Or light all the way through its divine brilliance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, not to worry about, you know, feeling like you're past your prime.
Good word. Thank you. Did you have your hand up, Mike? Did you? No, I thought you had your hand up. Should you have had your hand up? Okay.
No, I only turned your hand up.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. Yeah.
Just looking at the tape measure feeling kind of how accurate and how detailed it is. And you want to watch someone use a tape measure, you've got to go to Fred, really, because he will sort it out to the nearest millimetre or whatever, whereas I just enhance that 5 foot. But the sense that I had was that God is interested in every little detail of our lives.
Excellent. Debbie? Excellent. Okay, well, that was fun, wasn't it? Okay, I will tell you the next game. We're not going to play it because we haven't got time. But the next game was going to be just, I saw God said again. And this time, what we used to be encouraged to do is when we were asked to see something, we were told to shut our eyes. And to really try and hear from God through our eyes being shut and asking him to show us something. So it's the same idea as this, but actually without having the physical object there. And I can absolutely guarantee that the more you practice this, the more it will just be a natural outflowing of your life. Sometimes I find that particularly if I've spent more time really focused in the presence of God, I hear from God through what I see all over the place. I was out walking the other day and I felt God speak about the living out of the water of life. And I'm walking and I realized that wherever you go in our neighborhood, you can see a fire hydrant. I've never noticed that before. And I just thought, whenever you need that water, it's there. And it's exciting living just out of that place. And God's heart is that we would all do it because we can all hear from him. And I'm hoping this morning that you were encouraged by what you saw. And for those of you who are brave enough to share, thank you. If somebody felt like they had something but was still too shy to share, feel free to come and tell me because I'd love to hear about it. I'm going to hand it back to Mark now, who's going to close. But if there was a word that was shared this morning that you feel like is for you, then don't go home without getting someone to pray for you.
Great. And just what I was thinking as everyone was sharing was that we all didn't think about the same thing. Not everyone's eyes were drawn to the candle or to the dog or the car. It's like there was a whole multitude of things that we were drawn to. And out of that, there was a whole multitude of things that we felt God was saying. And that is really what the body of Christ is all about. That we are many parts of the same body. And we see things differently. God speaks in different ways. And yet he speaks all of these encouraging things. Isn't that incredible? So it's been great just hearing all of those things. So we need to be encouraged by that, and we need to stir up our spirit and realize that to bring a word of encouragement, in one sense, takes very little effort. It just means being available to God and saying, "What do I see and what do you say?" As easy as that. So let's think about that. Stir ourselves up through this time. I had a picture as well of earlier, and I was just reminded of it because one of my teeth started aching. So I'm not sure whether that's me or whether someone has toothache, and I could pray with you afterwards if that's the case. But I had this picture of a dentist working on someone's mouth, kind of fixing the teeth and things like that. And I felt like God was saying that he wanted to give someone wisdom, because teeth often speak in pictorially about wisdom. And so if that's you, you're in a situation you need a sense of wisdom for the things that you're going through, I'd like to pray for you. So there's tea and coffee at the back. Be blessed, have a great week, and continue just to stir up your spirit and see how we can encourage one another. Thank you.